be looking into the book of James again in chapter 4 and starting up at verse 7. The book of James, chapter 4, verse 7. I do recall several weeks ago, as we closed off with this, I rushed into that just to open the door on that verse, so to speak. And it is just full of nuggets, full of marvelous truths that we need to embrace. And chapter 4, verse 7, I begin, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Submitting. So much talk. Mm-hmm. If you want to start a riot in any marriage counseling session, you tell a woman to submit herself to her husband. and that's right where you lose somebody, right? Yes, then and there. Yes. But we are told to submit ourselves to God in this verse. Submitting is different than obeying. And we are told in this particular verse to submit, to surrender ourselves to God. And that's what he wants. And when we are surrendered and submitted to God, guess what? Obedience follows. Because it is a question, and it always has been, a question of our will. The most precious thing that each and every one of us has that is so very dear and personalized to who we are, that we must submit this precious thing, this commodity, to Father God.
Hallelujah.
So that he has free rule and control of our lives, because we are a stubborn and stiff-necked and rebellious and hard-nosed and, did I forget any of the adjectives?
Selfish.
Selfish, thank you. Yeah. Pig-headed, hard-nosed, demanding, yes. Keep going. Anything else? Obstinate.
Rebellious.
Stupid. Yeah, rebellious. Yeah, very rebellious. Did I say rebellious? No, then there's rebellious.
Yes.
Yes.
Rebellious.
It's not uplifting. Okay, I'm just trying to make a point. My wife said, time to move on. It is the flesh.
Yes.
But that's what God desires, for us to submit ourselves, our passions, our desires, our hopes, our dreams to him. And to trust in him completely. And when he gets all that, when he gets our passion and pride out of the way,
amen.
You know, that opens the door. And not that he needs for an opportunity, because he can make whatever he wants, but it's some kind of spiritual law, some kind of spiritual modem that he employs, that when people come to the place of surrender, when they come to the... Oh, good morning, Jim. How are you?
Uninformed. I thought there was no Bible study this week again also. But I'm thankful that there is.
Yes, we're glad you're here. So when we submit ourselves to the living God, our will, and it leads to obedience, as I've already said, that rather than resist God's will, we should resist the devil.
Right.
Now, this verse is quoted every time and any time someone begins to talk about demonic warfare. I bet we brought it up 100 times during our 8-week session on demonic warfare. Submit yourselves to God. Submit yourselves to God. And then resist. Resisting the devil. Boy, yeah. There are so many times, and many, many times, as with Jesus, when he rebuked the spirit and the spirit fled. Okay? And when people gather together, lay hands on someone who was struggling with a problem, and the problem leaves. But I really wish Pastor Rick was here, because he's had extensive experience with demonic warfare. But for what little experience I have had, I will say that many, many times, it's more than a one-time thing. And if you are plagued with a spiritual issue, which has manifested itself in your flesh, in whatever way, shape, it has come, that it usually takes a dog-faced, stubborn resistance to Satan before that thing will release its grip on you. And many, many times it takes multiple sessions of prayer and casting out with people quoting scripture and laying on of hands and rebuking the spirit, the demon, whatever it is, before the spirit will flee. And so even with ourselves, if there is something, an issue going on in your life that you don't feel belongs there, and again, as with Apostle Paul, that God allowed a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble because of the amount of revelation that he had received. And so too I see in our day and age that many, many people struggle with different maladies, sicknesses, problems, challenges, that God allows to stay there for a season for whatever reason. Okay? And right. I'm not going to pretend to know, but just going along with the experience we have in the scriptures there, and if you feel that this thing doesn't belong, if it's some kind of a problem physically, an emotional problem. I talked with a young man, happened experience that I bumped into him in a store, and I know his parents very well, and he has this issue with if he sees something that, you know, that kind of, I don't know, he finds repulsive. And you guys have things that you see find repulsive? When I see a pile of maggots, for me, that's repulsive. Oh, but when he sees anything like this, any water that's got a skin on it or muddy water, it turns his stomach and he's got throw up.
Oh, wow.
And it happens multiple times a week.
Oh,
and, you know, it's a problem in his emotions, in his mind. And that's immediately, it came to me that it was spiritual in origin. I laid hands on him, prayed for him right in the store. And that young man needs multiple sessions of prayer, and he needs to learn how to resist this cloud of heaviness that comes upon him that so consumes his mind that it nauseates him and makes him violently ill. Again, things of that, I just use that as an example, but, you know, it can be a twitch, something that really makes you angry, something that really bothers you, a physical ailment, problems concentrating, problems sleeping, whatever it may be. And if God lays on your heart that is spiritual in nature, you need to begin to resist that. And I generated a list of ways that we could go about resisting demonic attacks in our lives. It's not all inclusive, and I'm hoping at the end of this, you know, that you can throw in your two cents into the hat as well and add to this. So as powerful as Satan is, and these demonic agents, that they can be resisted, and they will flee when? And again, this is the list according to Roger. They will flee when the sin or sinful action ceases. So, and again, this is not necessarily immediately, but if you have a problem with smoking and any addiction is demonic, let's establish that right away. Problem with drinking, problem with pornography, a problem with overeating, consuming alcohol, whatever the case may be, that the first step to get rid of this demonic spirit in your life is to stop the action. If it's illicit relationships, stop the adultery. Stop the action, and that is the first thing. That's when the battle really begins. Okay? If it's overeating, excessive desserts, excessive food, excessive fat, stop that action, and that is the beginning right there of the resistance. So, when the sin or sinful action ceases, when prayer and praise becomes a regular part of your routine. And these are spirits that inhabit us that hate Jesus. They hate Father God. They were thrown out of heaven because of their rebellion. So when someone employs praise and prayer consistently in their life, you are creating an atmosphere where they are not comfortable. Okay, step number two. Number three, when relevant scripture is quoted to them. Now, this is the day the Lord has made. Okay, we can do better than that. Quote scripture that speaks about the freedom that we have when we are delivered, about the freedom that people had when Jesus delivered them. All these relevant scriptures that talk about the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection.
I always say, greater is he that is in us.
He that is in the world. Absolutely. Amen. Perfect. Perfect. That's exactly it right there. Jim?
And I always say, when I find myself saying, I can't do this. Then I say, wait a minute. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah. Stop saying that. You know,
this is great. Any others? Keep going. This is wonderful. Okay. All right. Now we'll continue on. Relevant scriptures. So we just had a couple great examples. And I'm sorry I wasn't able to supply you with some more. I guess I didn't stop to ponder that.
Help me, Lord.
I do have a list of 30 or 40 relevant scriptures that are used in demonic warfare. And I did not tap into that. But there are a lot. And the thing is, when you engage in spiritual warfare, you know who comes right alongside of you?
Yeah.
It is the Holy Spirit. He comes alongside of you to fight with you. It's not somewhere out in the cosmos, but he will come alongside of you to battle with you against the opponent. And that is, if you need to conjure up an image in your mind, that is it. That is fact. He comes alongside of you to fight with you, to protect you, to comfort you, to give you wisdom and guidance, and to engage with you in your struggle. Pam, you had a hand up.
When I've yelled at Satan, if I am a child of God, you have no hold on me.
Amen. Amen. I know that our passion and our emotions certainly can get involved, but you don't need to yell at them. You don't. Just calmly state the facts, and that is enough. I mean, getting extremely emotional, if that may help you, whatever, but all it does is going to drain your batteries quicker. Passion is good. Passion is very good. So relevant scripture, and when the facts of the resurrection and the crucifixion are rehearsed and meditated upon, they hate that, because that is the thing that has sealed their fate. That is the thing that is definitely done them in. That is their doom and gloom, the glorious resurrection, because that is the thing where Jesus gave us victory over them. It was that singular act right there, the resurrection of Christ and his death on the cross, those singular acts that spelled the doom of Satan and his kingdom. And I don't think any of them realized what was going on. The marvelous plan that God had. I mean, Satan's brilliant, but I don't think he understood or comprehended the enormity of the victory that was achieved when Jesus walked out of that grave 3 days later. That he had defeated death, that he had defeated sin, that Satan's army, that was the death knell right there of his kingdom, that he would be defeated, and that forever he could not have sway and rule and reign over the human race, because now we had a way out. And it's because of his shed blood that we can have victory over sin, victory over death, a hope of a future, glorious future in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That is something to get excited about.
Amen.
So when the facts of the resurrection and the crucifixion are rehearsed orally, vocally, so they can hear it, because they cannot read your mind. They can interject thoughts into your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And as Jim, I remember so succinctly, maybe a year, years ago, he brought up the point that the only thoughts they can know are in your mind are the ones that they put there.
That's right.
So they cannot read your mind. But they do have the ability to interject thoughts and ideas and create atmospheres or thoughts or clouds of desire in our minds. And again, that's what we as children of God need to be sensitive to what's going on. And they are so clever, very gently starting to sow seeds and thoughts and ideas, and before long you've got a strong idea planted in your mind that you're ready to act on. Whereas if you were sensitive from the start, you know, oh no, 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 I know what's happening. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Take your thoughts,
Amen.
Take your ideas,
right.
your temptations. Leave me alone. I don't need them. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Leave me and go where the Lord Jesus would send you.
Amen.
Trouble me no more.
Amen.
Those are the, and again, those are the kind of thoughts and ideas that you need to express to them, that you're onto them, that you understand what's happening, and you're not going to tolerate it. And I'll tell you what, boy, it does work. Sometimes
Amen.
You need to go through two or three times because they'll keep coming, but then they will leave.
Amen.
Question.
Yeah.
Can they read what you write?
I don't see why not. I've never read anything about that or anything about. I don't see why not. They watch us. They study us. They watch our body language.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
Right.
And they know the English language. They know all the vernaculars. They're smart
mm-hmm.
beings.
Very
they're smart
diving.
Energies. That's a good point, Pam. I've never. They know what we read. They know
what you write comes from your mind.
Right.
So if they can't read your mind, they'll be the thoughts that they put there.
Mm-hmm.
A specific example is I was given a word for me last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote it down. And as I'm writing it down in my notebook, I'm thinking, can they read what I'm writing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, if you were given a word yeah. verbally, you were from somebody?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, in my mind.
Uh-huh.
No.
Okay.
Wow. That's a good perspective. Yes, yes, yes.
I feel this can interject with what you're speaking
yes, please.
About. If we do not bridle our tongue, as the Bible tells us to, then if we speak negative of someone, that is actually killing that person.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I talked about Lorraine, you know, she just drives too fast or, you know, some crazy thing, and that can damage her because I'm gossiping about, that's a very elementary situation,
oh,
you know,
no,
driving too fast. But even if we don't learn to bridle our tongue, and it's a long life lesson.
Yes.
So
yes.
if we have to, it's a must. Because we can damage her reputation.
It's destructive.
I've been there, done that. That somebody has really hurt me, but
mm-hmm.
it's in God's hands.
That's right.
God is in control, and that person or people, I'm not going to go there, but because if we don't bridle our tongue, it can damage us. It can damage the person that's saying that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
like you said, Satan can't, but once we say those words forth,
you can't pull them back in.
Yeah,
you know, you can't
right.
unring
yeah.
a bell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's
well, chapter back, James talked all about this,
yeah.
very same thing, about bridling mm-hmm. the tongue. It's the smallest member of our body, yet it starts a wicked forest fire. It can burn down. It can destroy families and
mm-hmm.
lives. And it is the smallest member of a ship, yet it turns the whole ship around, changes
right.
the course of nature.
It's destructive.
It destroys lives and families
right.
and relationships.
Right.
And the things you say sometimes create scenarios
mm-hmm.
that are irreversible from
right.
just what comes out of the mouth.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, very well said. That's right, Deb.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Somebody else had their hand up right in the middle. Jim.
It was me, but when Sus Pam spoke, I forgot my thought, but then my thought came back, but it wasn't quite as strong. But the thought was very clear. It said, the devil comes at us, and we can speak him away. The devil, the point was that he always comes back again because we always need Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really the whole thing was like, why doesn't he go away and not come back? Well, sometimes he'll go away for a few seasons or a few, you know, he'll go away for a while, but he does find other ways. In other words, you can lose certain sins in your life, but he is like, he can read your paperwork and he can see what your thoughts are. And we had a woman speak the other night, and she said the devil was using scripture against her.
Yes.
And I understood what she was trying to say, you know, to the best of my ability, what she was trying to say, but the point being, he uses tricks that you never even would ever think of. And when there's victory in this one area, sooner or later he comes back.
Yeah.
But the answer is, it's because you always need Jesus. Mm-hmm. It was similar to what the thorn in Paul's, whatever Paul's thorn was,
right.
we never know. But
mm-hmm.
the point being, my grace is sufficient. The point being, this is never going to go, as Debbie just said about the bridling of the tongue, that's a lifelong thing.
Yeah.
For you not to respond when someone comes against you,
mm-hmm.
whether it's rolling your eyes or whether it's muttering under your breath, or whether it's out and out gossiping, or
it's an opening. He's waiting for that opening.
A legal one.
And if you let your guard down, he'll come right in and
absolutely
try to destroy you.
And that is why why the Lord would allow those spirits to continually come back and attack us, that keeps us on our knees, that heightens our sensitivity, our spiritual sensitivity to our need for the Lord, that to see just how fallible, how weak and needy we really are. I mean, and be sensitive to that fact that we need the Lord God, because we cannot do this alone. We cannot do this on our own, that we need Him, because I think if the scales could be taken off our eyes for a minute, we would just see the spiritual warfare that's going on around us, and the spirit just waiting on the fringes to pounce, because they know each and every one of your histories, where you've been, the sins you've engaged in, your weaknesses, and you go back to that. Boy, my wife will leave to go out to book club for a night, and I say, wow, I'm all over the TV. I can watch anything I want. And that's not me. I have no desire to watch pornography. But when those thoughts come to me, and there was a day back in my military service, almost 45, 48 years ago, when that was a desire I had, pornography, and I'm steeped in that because of my surroundings. But do you see how still they come back? Come on. All I wanted was watch animal shows.
Really?
Well, anyways. But, again, he can be resisted. The warfare can be waged against him. And I will say that there's been long-standing warfare I have waged over things in my life, and it has not come to pass. So, again, his grace is sufficient for you. Right? And that's what you
have.
Yes, yes.
Does the devil know your weaknesses?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. And they don't forget. They don't forget your past sin. They don't forget your mistakes, whether it was gossip or pornography or anything you did in secret, or anger that you had, or screaming or pounding on the walls against somebody. They remember that. And they wait for an opportunity or a similar scenario where they can go back and ram that right home again and try to bring you to that place of anger or frustration or lying or stealing, whatever it might be, to bring you back to that place where they were so successful once before. And I use the analogy of a suit of armor. And when they know that you have a crack in your suit of armor somewhere, and they'll put their bar in there, and they'll just keep wiggling that bar up and down till they pry that seam open, and they have an opening, an inroad. And God is so just, not only to you, but to them as well. And if you are engaging in a sin again, going back to drink, going back to marijuana, going back to drugs, going back to pornography, whatever it was that maybe something you had a victory in the past, and you go back to that thing again, God is so just that He will allow them to come back in. Yes, Jim?
Well, fortunately, we have the Word of God, which reminds us, lest the worst thing come upon you.
That's exactly it.
Go forth and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. If those things don't stand out like a tattoo in your mind, then you're not being able to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to defend yourself. There's no other way. There really is no other way to defend yourself against the wiles of the devil. It just can't be done. But the sword of the Spirit, he is afraid of, and he will back down. He will. And yes, I do get loud, because I do have to.
That's okay.
It's never going to end. Until our last breath, it's always going to continue. We might go away for a season. We're doing really good.
Right.
But, you know?
Okay. So Satan will flee when sin or sinful action ceases, when prayer and praise is a regular part of your life, when relevant scripture is quoted to him, when the facts of the resurrection and crucifixion are rehearsed, when spiritual or holy songs are sung or kept at the front of your mind, and you begin these songs, you get a song in your mind like that.
I wake up singing those songs.
Yes, wonderful. That's great. That is the Lord. And when you have that kind of mindset, many times my wife will walk in, she'll be talking to me, you call me. No. Just talking to the Lord, trying to sing a song. He doesn't care if you're flat. If you can't carry a tune in a bucket, it doesn't matter to him. It doesn't matter at all. And just because you can't sing well doesn't mean you shouldn't sing. And sing all day. And these songs, and Jesus did it. When he went to the garden, he says they sang a song. He sang a song with his disciples, a song of praise. They sang a hymn. That he did that. And I mean, if it worked for him, well, you know, shouldn't it work for us as well? But all these things, when you keep a spiritual mentality or a spiritual aura, a mindset by running these songs through your mind, you know, boy, what a beautiful way to think about the Lord. And before I know it, one song will lead to another song. And then I'm thinking about scripture, and you know, that it really is a truism. Go ahead, Jim.
Thursday night, there was an example of that when Debbie Zanker's grandson, or whatever his name was, a little two-year-old boy, real struggling. They put him on my lap, and I'm like, I was holding him, and I'm like, I just started singing, Jesus is my friend. No tune, no words, no hymn, but I had to sing something, so I just started singing, Jesus is my friend, Jesus is my friend. And pretty soon he was singing it, and I'm like, oh, God, this is so good, you know, like this didn't, you know, one of those unexpected moments in your life that happened.
We were singing to our grandchildren as well down there. And we were down there for a visit too. I was trying to dance, and you know, kid probably thought I was really humorous, but we were singing about Jesus. Amen. All right. When you pray or speak in your heavenly language, I do understand that there is still a bunch, many naysayers, many people that are skeptical about glossolalia, speaking in tongues. Speaking in another spiritual language, language of the angel, a language you don't know, a language you don't understand. But that is the Holy Spirit using your tongue to communicate truths. And if you are in the middle of an issue, you do not know how to pray, you're struggling with something, employ your prayer language, because the Holy Spirit does know how to pray and does know how to pray for you at that instant. He knows how to speak God's perfect will over you in that instant. So do not be afraid, no matter what it sounds like, to employ your prayer language.
Amen.
And if you have just a couple words, continue to use them, and I promise you, it will grow to volumes. And I like, again, it doesn't sound like so much, but I like singing in tongues as well. And that brings me great joy. So, you know, let the Holy Spirit have his way with you. Okay. Next, number 7, meditate and memorize scripture. Of course, I know most of the stuff you know and understand. Vocally remind Satan or these demons of their future. Okay?
Yes,
when you
absolutely.
Feel you're being attacked, they're having their way with you, they're beating you up, dragging you down, making you anxious, you know what? Turn the table. You're making me upset. I'm going to make you upset because you are going to spend all eternity burning in the lake of fire, suffering without knowing Father God. You won't have any beings to inhabit. You're going to be down there all alone in darkness, suffering all by yourself because of your rebellion against Father God. And that is where you will spend eternity. But as for me, I will be walking on streets of gold with my Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and all those that I love and cherish.
Yes.
Remind them of their future. Audibly rebuke them. My 9th point. 10th point, command them to go where the Lord Jesus would send them. Remember those that inhabited the demoniac on the other side of Gennesaret, the lake, and Jesus, you know, rebuked them, and they begged him, you know, don't throw us into the outer regions, but let us go into the pigs. Mm-hmm. They like to inhabit. I didn't realize animals as well, but they like to have human beings. That's where they're comfortable. They enjoy that. That's something they're desirous of. So tell them to go where the Lord Jesus would send them. Well, that was the list that I came up with, how we can resist Satan, the tactics had a very pragmatic 1 to 10 list here, what we could do to war against him. Mm-hmm. In verses 7 to 10, James offers 10 commands, and I probably should have brought this up a minute ago, but 10 commands that that we can use. And again, this I do not understand this, but I'm going to offer to you in the Greek. The aorist imperative calls for immediate response in a pointed way to demand action in every instance. And they are submit, resist, come near, wash, purify, grieve, mourn, wail, change, and humble yourself. 10 commands that James brings to light. And in verse 8, we will begin again. Draw nigh to God. You know, how many times people say, well, where is God? I mean, you know, I want more of him in my life. I want to sense him. I want to feel him. I want to know him. I want him to have more control, on and on and on. And what this says, draw nigh. You draw nigh to God. And guess what? Something about it that we need to take the first step. Because God could do it, and then it's all him. But if you have that desire, you want to be closer to him. You want to know him better. You want more of him in your life, less of you. You have got to take the first step. It's got to be you. And I don't know why that is, but that's what the scripture says. So you can't argue it, can't debate it. You want more of God, it's on you, not on him. He's called you into his kingdom. He saved you. He's washed you of your sin and filled you with his Holy Spirit. And then from there on out, you must have the desire for more of God. And you know what? He'll not turn you down. He won't dangle a carrot in front of your nose and say, ha-ha, I got you now. Look at you chasing after this carrot. No, no, no. He doesn't play games like that. If you go closer to him, you spend more time with him, you tell him of your love, guess what? You will sense more of his love. You will feel more of his presence, and you will know more of him in your life, because that's the kind of God that he is.